Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Fun. 8:38 on this Monday edition of Palmetto Mornings, 40 degrees right here on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
Welcome in our listeners on AM 1340, those listening on the free WRHI app. Download that app today and watching us on Corporium Cable Channel 103. Once a month, we check in with our friends from York County Regional Chamber of Commerce. We've got the president and CEO. Is that what the official title is, Dean?
They usually call me Dean.
it can work on many fronts of the chamber. And we've got the board chair, Wes Tuttle, joining us. And good morning to you both.
Good morning.
All right, Wes, let's start with you. It looks like your year as board chair is coming to an end. So do you serve from January to December? Is that what the
Correct.
Calendar year looks
yeah,
like?
Yeah, calendar year.
Okay,
yes,
all right. And talk a little bit about that. Talk maybe a little bit about being involved in the chamber and then getting the call that you're now going to be the board chair and what the last year has been like.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been an honor serving this year. So I started in January, ended up this month. I guess ran my last meeting a couple weeks ago. So, coming to an end, it's been a fantastic year. Been on the board about 5 years, and now it was my turn to be the board chair. So, this year was fantastic. We actually ended the year with more members than we started, which is always good. But certainly I can't take any credit for that. The staff at the chamber is just unbelievable, Dean and all the folks there. Mm-hmm. It's been a great year.
Was it everything you'd hoped it was going
to
be?
Everything I hoped for it to be, absolutely. I learned a lot, I really just think that the chamber is going in the right direction. I mean, I think the team that's in place and what happened this year and where we're going is fantastic.
Great. And, Dean, I'll let you just pick up from what Wes
Sure.
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Wes is certainly being more humble. He did a great job as our board chair, led the board. And we really had Wes and I's goal at the beginning of the year was kind of transition from being a board that was rather reactive and responsive to kind of what staff was asking for to really being more engaged and proactive and setting the tone. Mm-hmm. And so we started that early on, and Wes really challenged our board to step in, take responsibility for each goal and see it across the finish line. And I think that made a big difference. We went into the year with four strategic goals. We wanted one primary goal in each of our focus areas. You know, that includes advocacy, leadership development, talent, workforce development, and then our member engagement. But under member engagement, we really broke it out to diversity, equity, and inclusion. We saw a real need, not only in the community, but all of our businesses to really kind of be a little bit more responsible and look at what their DEI policies or strategies are, or if they even have one. And in many cases, we found in doing a quick audit of some of our larger companies that they weren't actively pursuing a DEI strategy. So we've tried to provide resources there.
Yeah, we had April Simpkins coming in here last month to talk about that, and she really did pull back the curtain, so to speak, about companies think they might have been doing it, and then when they were asked about it, they were not doing it. But she also said it was important to ask companies what the end goal was, because she said for one company it might look like this, for another company right. totally different. So it's not like one size fits all, and you can tailor it though to what your goal is.
That's right. Our purpose wasn't to tell someone what they should or shouldn't do. Our purpose was to provide them the tools and the toolkit mm-hmm. to say, you know, here's the process and here's how you can be effective in putting together a DEI strategy and understanding that it's really the right thing to do and that it's the right thing to do not only from a human personal relationship thing and treating everyone equitably and fairly, but it's the right thing to do from a business profitability standpoint. I mean, do you really want to limit the number of people in your talent pool to a certain percentage because you do not have a strategy and you're not thinking about trying to be all inclusive? So we wanted to help everybody understand that.
Wes, what's great about being part of the chamber? Again, you said you served on the board for many years and then it was your time to be board chair. But prior to that, why get involved with the chamber? Just personally on in you and your line of work, obviously.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, the Chamber just they have a lot of resources that many different businesses can use, from small business to large businesses, and just being a part of that and helping the community grow from quality of life to talent development to you name it, all those are important to see Rock Hill succeed. And certainly I have an affinity for Rock Hill and the growth and bringing new business here and increasing the quality of life. And I really think that the Chamber has the resources to kind of bring all of that together. And so I wanted to be a part of it, help them out, and just see the Chamber help all those components grow.
I know that you said membership was up. How do people become a member if they're interested? What do they need to do? Can they do it now? Is there a time where you have to sign up to be a member? How does all of that process work?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. If a member's just looking and considering, kind of going, is the Chamber the right thing for us? And not all businesses are going to be Chamber members. Some businesses, they're so busy in their 9-to-5, open to close time frame. That's what they need to focus on, and that's what they need to focus on right now. But when they do need us for something, or they have a challenge or issue that they can't meet, that's when they tend to pick up the phone, give us a call, and they realize that we may have some resources to help them reach the next level of their business. So that's what we're always striving for. On our website, that we changed up our website. We have a new website this year. That was one of our action items. And in there, there's a portal. So a business can kind of go in, and it's almost like a little game. It's like, where do you see yourself? And they answer a question, answer another question, and then it kind of shows them. And what we tried to do was not all businesses have the same needs. A restaurant is going to have a completely different set of needs than, say, the Tuttle Company, or let's say Comporium Communications or Founders Federal Credit Union, somebody like that. So what we did with our membership model was created rooms, if you will. So, where do you see yourself? Which room do you fit in? These are the resources we provide for you if you fit into this room.
Well, that's a cool way of looking at it from that perspective.
It's a little bit different. Yeah. The old model of we charge or penalize you based on how many employees you had. So the more successful you are, the more money you pay.
Right.
And we're like, that's not really the model that we're after. It's like, we just recognize that, not all of our members are going to really be that concerned if we're actively involved in advocacy at the state or federal level. But certain businesses sure are, and they want us there, and they want to be there with us when we're going to Columbia, if we're going to D.C., and that sort of thing.
So it's a kind of get to know you, not only for the business to the Chamber, but the Chamber for the business as well.
Absolutely. You really summed up our singular strategy for the year, and it's service. And it's, how can we service our members? And we can only do that if we go in and ask questions and learn what their pain points are and their challenges and their goals are. And we started an effort this year that between, me and staff is we're going out and meeting with our existing members more than we ever have. And that's really kind of helping them find and learn about resources that they didn't even know that we were doing in many cases, because here again, we're all so busy in our day-to-day operation.
And as we turn the calendar, for the year 2023, when you look at our legislatures here, what are some of the big issues coming down, maybe anticipating at the state house level, that you want our lawmakers to continue to advocate for, chambers, like at least here, especially in York County?
Well, it's a great question. Our Government Relations Task Force Committee actually meets tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. We have a draft proposal of our business legislative agenda. Tax reform in South Carolina is still very important. Act 388 was passed back in 2005-06, implemented in 2008. And it's just been punitive in fast-growing counties like ours to business. It's also caused our schools to have to really rethink how they're funding their funding model works. When you look at that, and everybody says, Dean, you always talk about Act 388, but it's not going to be repealed. Well, I don't think it's going to be repealed either. Who's going to go to the poll and vote to tax themselves? Not many of us are really going to be excited about that. But there are strategies and things that the state can do to mitigate the damage, put in breaker points on the reforms, and that could really help. So that's going to be a real key item. The other areas, everybody's screaming about talent. We don't have enough talent. Well, the reality is the talent is there. The talent's just not working. You know, so our labor participation rate, we've talked about this before, is at an all-time low. It's just 62.1% here in the state of South Carolina. There are enough workers there to fill the jobs we have if we can re-engage them. Well, why are they not engaged? You know, in many cases, it's child care. It's there's a host of other reasons. Celeste Tiller, our new VP of Talent Workforce, just wrote a blog on the paper ceiling. Some of our companies are creating their own issues with putting job descriptions online and their hiring practices, which actually prevent people from applying for jobs because they assume they're not qualified.
Oh, and, wow,
so,
yeah.
So there's a host of opportunities there.
Mm-hmm. And then, Wes, I'll let you just sum up your reign as board chair for the York County Regional Chamber.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just piggyback on what Dean was saying earlier about the resources and if you want to become a member. The cool thing about, you know, what the chamber, you know, has to offer is a lot of our current members may not even know the resources that we have. So I would encourage you, if you are a member or not a member, to really look into it. Like Dean said, they are going to meet with as many members or even non-members as they can, and I would just encourage the community to reach out and see that there may be something we're offering they don't even know about that can help their business. And that's what we're really here to do, is to help grow businesses and help businesses here in the community. So just want to put that out there and try to help them out.
Fantastic. Again, Wes Tuttle, board chair for outgoing board chair for York County Regional Chamber of Commerce, and Dean Fail, Dean, President, CEO, whatever you want to call him at York County Regional Chamber of Commerce. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We appreciate it.